All right, well, welcome to the Bible study. We're going to be talking tonight about the body of Christ. And one of the differences between the church we're going to focus on, at least to start with, the church, it's not different from itself. There have to be two separate groups of churches for them to be different from each other. And Israel was a church that, well, the Lord started. He said, I will build my church in Matthew 16. I'm thinking it was verse 16 or 18. And then you come along to Acts 8 after Jesus Christ had been crucified and the Holy Spirit had been blasphemed in Acts 7. Israel fell with that blasphemy and was no longer a way to God. Then in Acts 9, you've got Paul, Saul of Tarsus, going to kill other disciples, and he gets saved on the road to Damascus. How did that happen? Well, he saw Jesus as a bright light, the light of the world. And so it says straight in Acts 9, verse 20, it says, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, Jesus in the synagogues, that he is the Christ. In other words, this person, Jesus, that's born of Mary, he's the Messiah of God for Israel. He realized it, and that was a turnaround. That was a change of mind, a repentance from what he believed before. But there is, well, at that point, he later was sent with the gospel of Christ to do the work, what it's called the work in Habakkuk 1:5. And he did that work until he was sent to all people. The work involved winning individual Jews into the body of Christ by preaching the gospel of Christ, which was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, but there was nothing that prevented the start of the body of Christ before Israel's casting away or after Israel's casting away. There's no scripture that believers in Paul's gospel before the end of Acts were not in the body of Christ. No scripture says they were in some other group or some. The people that believed Paul's gospel of salvation before the end of Acts, during the Acts period, were in the body of Christ. That's what 1 Corinthians 12:27 says. And likewise, there's no scripture that says that believers in Paul's gospel before the casting away of Israel at the end of Acts, before that time, you know, there's no scripture that says they became part of Israel's kingdom church, that church Jesus said, I will build. Why would they become part of that? Paul couldn't. Paul was unforgivable for having blasphemed the Holy Ghost and spoken against the Holy Ghost in the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7. Paul was unsavable into Israel's kingdom church. So both those positions ignore Paul's statement in Romans 11, verse 11. Romans 11, 11. It was written in Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Part of the way. As far as chapters go, it's roughly halfway between Paul's salvation and the end of Acts. And in Romans 11, 11, he's saying that salvation is come unto the Gentiles. And that's a present tense statement. Salvation is come unto the Gentiles. So what does that mean had to have happened before salvation came unto the Gentiles in Acts 20 when he wrote Romans? Well, let's read the verse. Romans 11, 11. And I hope somebody can post these verses for us. There are pretty many, actually. But the verse list is right up there in the banner. Just click on it and go through with Paltalk's filter, and you'll have the verse right on your screen, the list of verses, and then just post them if you've got a mini Bible post. And that's on the website, the software page of the website. But Romans 11, 11, I say then, have they, so Paul's talking about Israel, have they stumbled that they should fall? Well, before he says, God forbid, let's understand the question. Is he saying, did they fall? God forbid, no, they didn't fall. He's not saying that, no. He's saying, when they stumbled at that stumbling stone, the rock of offense, when they crucified Jesus Christ, when they stumbled, did they have to go on and fall? Have they stumbled that they should fall? No, they shouldn't have fallen. After they crucified Christ, they shouldn't have gone on and blasphemed the Holy Ghost by stoning Stephen. And that's when they fell. So he's saying, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, so he's saying that they did fall. Through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. So if salvation has already come unto those Gentiles that he describes in the next line, next part of the verse, that means that they had already fallen, because it was through their fall that salvation is come unto the Gentiles. And he tells why. To provoke them, Israel, to provoke Israel to jealousy. To jealousy. Not in the sense of being sinfully jealous of wanting more and more stuff, but in the sense of those Jews and Greeks, those few Jews, there apparently were more Greeks than Jews that were believing Paul's gospel. And when they got saved, pardon me, it would provoke Israel to jealousy, saying, I want what they've got. They've got, you know, the Bible says they, there wasn't those scriptures, I guess, that say it in the Bible, but Paul, preaching what had been revealed to him and the body of Christ prophets acknowledging it as their job is to do, they say that those people are saved, not are waiting to be saved like Israel was. Israel had to wait for the Day of Atonement. They had to wait for Jesus Christ to return to earth to blot out their sins. And I don't have that in the verse list, so I'm going to take a minute and pull it up, because it's crucial that we understand that there's a difference. We are saved instantly upon belief, not upon praying, not upon some religious ritual, but upon belief. What was lacking was faith in Israel's case. In our case, the only thing required is our faith, not our works. Repent. Peter tells Israel, talking about Israel's side now, not the body of Christ's side. Peter tells Israel, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So when Christ is sent back, that's when their sins get blotted out, Israel's. Well, that's a big difference from what Paul had revealed to him by Jesus Christ, that is the case for us. When we believe Paul's gospel, what he calls my gospel, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. And we go over this many times. Repetition helps, but I don't want to bore anybody, but it is so important that we understand the difference, and that you are saved today, and you cannot not be saved once you're saved. People in the Bible that you read about that can lose their contact with God or end up in hell or not endure to the end, those are all Israel. They're Israel because Israel hasn't been saved yet. Israel gets saved when Jesus Christ returns to blot out their sins. If they endure to that point. If they don't, they don't get that blotting out. If they do endure to the end, they get their sins blotted out. Their sins were remitted when they believed, but that remission is to, withhold the punishment for sin until the full forgiveness can be given at that Day of Atonement when their sins are blotted out. So if they don't endure to the end, they won't be saved. They're not saved yet. Do you understand? I may be belaboring it, but they're not saved yet. Israel isn't. We are saved instantly upon belief. So that's a difference. That's a difference between Israel's church, kingdom church, and the body of Christ church that all believers in Paul's gospel are part of upon belief. During Paul's his separation, his work, and his ministry, it was not Israel's rise that brought salvation to the Gentiles, but rather it was through Israel's fall. Listen again to the second half of Romans 11:11. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. And notice, it doesn't say what many people infer it to say. God is not implying that all Gentiles had the gospel preached to them at that point. It doesn't say salvation is come unto all the Gentiles. It came unto the Gentiles for to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. The ones that were there in the synagogues with Israel, that Israel could see and be provoked to jealousy about. So, those in Israel's kingdom church had not yet received their salvation. And we talked about that. But they're given the power to become sons of God. Look at John 1:12. Many people take that to say what it doesn't say. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, for years I read that as if it was saying, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, to them gave he sonship. No, I didn't believe it. He gave them power to become sons. I read it as if he gave them sonship to be sons of God, even them that believe on his name. But it doesn't say they become sons when they receive him. It says for Israel, remember, this isn't our situation now. Once we receive Christ as our Savior, according to 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, you are saved, like we saw there in Ephesians 2:5. You are saved. But here in Israel, for Israel back then, before they fell, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They would get that power. They had to become the sons of God, though. They had to endure to the end. And look at the same group of people a little later. This would be after Christ's crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension back to heaven. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached in the temple to all those Jews from all the different countries that spoke different languages, and the apostles, you know, were understood in those people's home language. But in Acts 2:47, we're told praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Should be. Should be saved when? At the end, when Christ returns. Just, I mean, the Bible is consistent. Added to the church daily such as should be saved. They weren't saved yet. It doesn't say they were saved. Their sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ. That's the verse there in Acts 3:19 that we read before. Acts 3:20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. And it goes on in the next verse, 21, to say that he must remain in heaven until the times of restitution of all things. So when the Lord returns, that is the restitution of all things. That is the bringing in of the kingdom from heaven to earth, to rule on earth. Those Jewish people, back then, before Israel's fall, they had to hope to the end for grace of God. We can see that in 1 Peter 1:13. And it sure would help if you guys could see it in print. Maybe you're looking them up yourselves, but I'm reading them accurately as I can. This is the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you, unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is when they get their, what does it call it? Grace. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Israel still has to wait for their salvation until the return of Christ. Not us. We are saved. Not only are we saved, we're sealed. The Holy Ghost is the guarantee that we'll stay in the body of Christ until the adoption of the body. The Lord takes us to heaven. And we read those verses before about Acts 3:19, 20, and 21 about Israel having to wait until the Lord returns to have their sins blotted out. And they had to endure to the end. Matthew 24:13 tells us that. Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Shall be. Future tense. The ones that endure to the end. However, those in the body of Christ are saved instantly upon belief. They're saved right now. And I've got a whole bunch of verses that tell us that. Let's look at Acts 13:39, talking about he's already preached about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that Jesus is the Christ, the risen Messiah, the Son of God. And he goes on to say, and by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Can you see the two different sets of doctrine there? Being justified by this man, Jesus Christ, that died for our sins, rather than trying to be justified by keeping every law of Moses all the time without fail. And that's what it was. I mean, God was righteous. He was perfect and couldn't have unrighteousness in his presence. So he gave them the law, and they pledged to keep it. Well, they needed the law then. They needed it to show them that they cannot be as righteous as God. They need a Savior. And that's what Isaiah 53 was about, Israel's Savior. Fortunately, after the Lord was crucified and went back to heaven, the Lord revealed to Paul that he's not only Israel's Savior, but he's our Savior too. And we can come to God by the gospel that Paul preached. Look at the next verse, Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. It's something we receive. It's not a matter of turning over a new leaf, pledging to do better, and all this kind of stuff. It's not your behavior. It's receiving what God is offering. And you know what he's offering? He's offering eternal life. He's offering forgiveness of your sins. That Christ became your sin. Your sins aren't just brushed to the side. Jesus Christ became your sin and died on the cross. Died your death for your sins on the cross. Let's go on to 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Another witness that it's an immediate salvation. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:2. By which also you are saved. Talking about the gospel that he had preached unto them, that Christ died for their sins. Keep in memory what I preached unto you. That's the important thing to remember when you're deciding to be saved. What Paul preached. Not, you know, unless you believed in vain, it's in vain to believe Peter's gospel anymore. If Israel had fallen. Israel has fallen. You can't come to God Israel's way anymore. Let's go on. Ephesians 2:5 that we already mentioned, let's just read it. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And that brings up another topic. Even if somebody could keep all the law, all the time, from conception to death, he wouldn't be quickened. He would be justified, but that's regarding sins. What about sin? Sin that he got from Adam through Seth. Genesis 5:3 says that we're not created in the image of God anymore. Everybody after Adam is born in the likeness, image and likeness of sinful Adam. So we've got Adam's sin in us when we're conceived. Okay, one more proof. I've got several here. When we're saved, look at Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved. Not by grace will you be saved in the future, but by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So the gospel of salvation that Paul preached saved people from God's wrath from now on, from the time they believed it on. And salvation is come unto the Gentiles. That's present tense. Again, Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. So their fall had to come before Acts 20 when he wrote Romans 11:11. Because salvation is come already unto the Gentiles to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. And finally, one last verse about our being secure in Christ, our being, saved. That's what saved means, that you'll never come into condemnation. The condemnation we're born with and we carry until we're saved is gone once you're saved. Paul, talking to Timothy about the believers in his group there, his gathering, he says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself, because we're the body of Christ. If we who are believers stop believing, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So, previously, before Paul, the only salvation offered to Gentiles was at the return of Christ through blessing Israel. It was through blessing Israel, and you can see that in Isaiah 60. Talking about at the return of Christ now, Isaiah 60 verses 1 through 3, that the world will come to the light of Israel after the tribulation. And again, Acts 3:19 and 20. But now, at this time, the Gentiles have been for the first time being offered salvation from God's wrath apart from Israel. You know, by the time the Lord returns to earth, we will have been caught up to heaven. We won't be on earth anymore. We'll be in our heavenly home. And I don't know if I'm making it clear the difference here between Israel and us. We're like in a... it's been said that we're like the body of Christ and Paul's preaching and the mystery that was revealed to Paul. That's all like the halftime in a football game. And the first half is Israel's, it's about Israel's doctrine, Israel's access to God, Israel's promise of a kingdom. And then you get the mystery with Paul now in the halftime. And then after the halftime, in the second half, you've got Israel again and prophecy being fulfilled with the kingdom coming after Israel gets the nations that gang up on Israel get taken down. They get punished, it says in Jeremiah 30. And the Lord says that because of Israel's constant going away and not staying with God, going after other gods, the Lord will not leave Israel wholly unpunished. Is that the term? Completely unpunished? Altogether unpunished? In other words, they're going to catch some of it too. And that's why they call it Jacob's trouble. It's because Jacob, Israel, gets ganged up on. But the Lord comes back and straightens it all out. Regarding the salvation of, you know, from God's wrath, being a separate setup, a separate pattern, he calls it, from Israel's, let's look at the series of verses in Romans 11, verses 11 and 12, and then we'll go down to 15. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing, a new term, the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And then down to verse 15, skip 13 and 14 for continuity here. For if the casting away of them, and he's talking about that as a sure thing, even though in the second verse of Romans 11 he said that it hasn't happened yet, by Acts 20 when he wrote that, he says it's going to happen. He says, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? What do we call life from the dead? Life from the dead. In this specific instance, well, in general, life from the dead would be resurrection. But in Israel's case, it's the born-again experience. That's when they're born again, when they come back. The gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Once they're buried in Hades, they come back to life, life from the dead, when the Lord resurrects them. Ezekiel 37, about them dry bones, read that. That's an exciting passage about, and it's going to happen, but we're not going to be here to witness it, unless if we're not saved by the time the Lord catches us up. If you're saved, you won't be here on earth. And I'm not sure about that balcony in heaven that Roberto Gagliardi was talking about. I've never seen anything like that in scriptures, but it's a pleasant thought to think that there are our loved ones that have gone on to heaven looking out from the balcony watching us. But anyway, I don't teach that, but it's something that's out there. And I don't teach against it because I don't know. The Bible just doesn't say, as far as I can tell. So let's look at Romans 11:25. Still concentrating on the difference between Israel's Kingdom Church and the Body of Christ Church, showing that they're not the same. They're different. Let's go on to Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. In other words, don't ignore this secret I'm telling you, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel. Until, so there's an end to it, and he tells how long it's going to last, that they'll be blinded in part, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So Israel blind, Gentiles become in. You can see that in the next verse. Let's go through the next series of verses down to verse 32, starting in Romans 11:26. And so all Israel shall be, future tense, shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is verse 27. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. That's when their sins get taken away, when he comes out of Zion, it says, the deliverer. Verse 30, that's skipping up a couple verses there, but in verse 30, for as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through Israel's unbelief, even so have these now not believed that through your mercy, preach the gospel to them, they may also may obtain mercy. verse 32, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." So you can tell Paul knew, this was after the temple vision, because Paul knew that he was going to be sent to all people. Even though he didn't go yet, there's no record of him going or being sent to all people before this time in Acts 20. But just a few verses later, we do have evidence that he was sent, according to Philippians 4:15. Let's look at some other verses that show the differences. Ephesians 2:11, 12, and 13. Ephesians 2:11, 12, and 13. "Wherefore, remember that you, in time past, being Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision." Who's he talking to and about? The Gentiles, called the uncircumcision. And called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. So in other words, it's the circumcision that calls them uncircumcision. But what's he saying? He's saying, remember that you, at that time, you were without Christ. You who? Is he talking about the circumcision or the uncircumcision? He said, in time past, you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision. So he's talking to and about the Gentiles and that they are called uncircumcision, but he says that you were without Christ. There's no reference to Israel there. They are the authority as to what the name is of those Gentiles, that they are uncircumcision, but he's not referring to the Gentiles at all here. And this is one of only two places that that Israel is remotely mentioned in the book of Ephesians. 6:1 and 2 is the other, and that's even more remote than this. So we're going to see something, understanding that there's no Israel in Ephesians, in this epistle to the Ephesians, as we go on through. But let's look at, starting at 12, "that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." In other words, since they weren't connected to Israel, they were without Christ. "And strangers from the covenants of promise." They could have been beneficiaries of that covenant. The covenant was made with Israel. It wasn't made with Gentiles that blessed Israel. But the Lord said, "I will bless them that bless you," to Israel. So those who were not Israelites that blessed Israel would receive that blessing. The covenant was made, and God keeps his word, even if he made it with Israel, and Gentiles that blessed Israel were the beneficiaries of it. "So at that time you were without Christ, being aliens," in other words, apart from the commonwealth of Israel. Commonwealth, you know, if you have two things in common or four things in common, you don't have one thing in common. You've got to have two groups or two lines of thinking or something, two to have it be common. And the commonwealth of Israel would be Israel, the nation of Israel, plus others, whoever else comes under Israel's doctrine or leadership or whatever. That has to be talking about proselytes and the Greeks that blessed Israel without becoming an Israelite. And there's a place for those Greeks. I mean, they're mentioned in the Old Testament as being instrumental in Israel's, this time of Israel, just before they were cast away and as they were being cast away. That being in Deuteronomy, they're mentioned. But going on to, I didn't finish that verse. Let me start it again. "At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now," verse 13, "but now in Christ Jesus," in other words, those of you that have believed the gospel and are in Christ, "you who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So the blood was shed at the cross, but it wasn't revealed that those who were far off from Christ are now made nigh, not saved. It doesn't say saved. It's talking about something different. we are saved by the blood of Christ too, by belief in it. But it's talking about being made nigh by the blood of Christ. Paul could go at this later time and preach to us the gospel that would save us. And it's not talking about Israel's, not talking about Jews and Gentiles in one body. That's not scriptural. There's no nation in the body of Christ. There is no Jews or Greeks in the body of Christ. No Jews, put it that way, in the body of Christ. Ephesians 2:17, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. Well, that's, again, there's no reference to Israel here or in anywhere else in Ephesians. So that's not talking about Israel and the Gentiles. It's talking about those Gentiles that blessed Israel. They were nigh. But the Gentiles that cursed Israel or that wouldn't bless them, they were far off. They were far from God. They didn't have any access to God at all. So those are the two groups there that it's talking about in that case. That's not what we're examining today, that is the Church of Israel, Israel's kingdom church, is different from the Church, the body of Christ. This is talking about access to God by some were near and some were far off, but it's talking about all Gentiles, two different kinds of Gentiles, two different conditions of Gentiles by their own choice. They were, the ones that were nigh to God by blessing Israel. They chose to bless Israel because they, most of them, I'm sure, because they heard about God and the God of Israel was powerful and, had control and was working through Israel. And if they blessed Israel, they'd be blessed by this powerful God. So they did. They were believers. They acted on their belief and had a blessing. But that's different from us today. So there were different groups of churches because of different gospels, different things to believe. In other words, a different content to the gospel. The Lord told Israel to believe that the kingdom was coming and that they should repent from going after other gods and believe that Jesus is their Messiah. Well, they did everything except believe that Jesus was their Messiah. They kept the law, kept the circumcision, kept the Sabbath, sold all and laid it at the feet of the apostles. But the ones that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that's the faith that's missing that Paul talks about in Romans 9, verses 30 to 33, and in Romans 10, verse 8. That's the very thing that they missed, the identity of Jesus, the name of Jesus, who he is, that he's God, the Son of God, the Messiah. The other thing we talked about yesterday that makes a definite difference between the two churches, other than, well, let me, I'm jumping ahead here. The first part, the gospel of the kingdom promises a kingdom here on earth. That's where the kingdom was to be, in the land. The gospel of eternal life, of the grace of God, or the gospel of Christ, promises to be saved to heaven, to be delivered from this present world. And so those are that's the second thing. Different things to believe and different places that we're saved to, the two groups. The other thing, different baptizers. Israel was baptized by Jesus Christ in Acts 2:33, having received the Spirit, having received from the Father the Holy Ghost, he now shed the promise of the Holy Ghost on those believers there in Acts 2. And I don't have the exact reading of that verse, Acts 2:33. I might as well get it. Got the Bible right here. Let's use it. Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, talking about Jesus Christ, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he, Jesus, hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So Jesus Christ baptized the little flock believers with the Holy Ghost. But as far as us, if believing Paul's gospel that Christ died for my sins and thereby I am saved according to what the Bible says, what God says in the Bible, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, and that body is the body of Christ, verse 27. So we are baptized by the Spirit. Israel is baptized by Jesus Christ. Different parts of the Godhead. So there's a big difference there, too. Christ revealed Paul's gospel to him, and it was different from previous gospels. Gospel of the kingdom, the law and the prophets was a form of a gospel. Paul goes on to say that you cannot be justified by works or by the law and the prophets. The law of Moses, he says in Acts 13:39. So, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the 12, they were all preaching repentance and water baptism to enter the kingdom of heaven on earth as the days of heaven upon the earth. And you can see that the gospel, the content of the gospel is clearly laid out in Mark 1:14 and 15. This is not our gospel. It's not what saves people today. But it was what was effective and given to Israel before Israel fell for them to be saved. It's what you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark 1:14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Well, what did he preach? What came out of his mouth when he preached the gospel of the kingdom? Look at verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye. In other words, change your mind. Quit following false gods. They were to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and to believe that gospel, that the kingdom is at hand. It was good news. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not is saved, but shall be saved. Here, this is after Jesus' resurrection, talking to Israel. It was still before Israel had fallen, and then Paul had been saved as a new pattern. But he says to Israel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Believeth what? Well, believeth what we just saw, that the kingdom is at hand, and that they should believe. Instead of, they should change their mind about who Jesus is and about who God is. Not follow false gods and not follow a false Messiah. So then Peter, after, this would be at the day of Pentecost, in the temple, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times, tells them when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So this is not some secret or mystery. Israel's kingdom and Israel's coming Messiah was not a secret. It was prophesied throughout the Old Testament. It was written down. What was a mystery was after Israel fell, God had a different pattern that he started by saving Saul of Tarsus and made him Paul, his only apostle of the Gentiles. Look at Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip, now this is after Israel fell, but the Lord was still working with individual Jews instead of pulling the rug out from under them. This was the beginning of that diminishing that Paul talks about in Romans 11:12. when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Remember, that's the very thing they missed up on in Romans 10, verse 8. The name of Jesus, who he is. The identity of Jesus. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They'd been promised the kingdom, that they would be a kingdom of priests. So they knew what he was talking about. He was talking about Israel's doctrine. They were baptized, both men and women. So Christ sent Paul to preach that by trusting Christ, that he died for our sins, we would be immediately and permanently saved from God's wrath. That's different. Different than believing, having to believe the name of Jesus. Because different sets of doctrine. Let's look at those verses by which we're saved. We looked at the content of Israel's gospel. Let's look at our gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, the gospel, which I preached unto you. So he had gone there in Acts 18. He had preached the gospel in Corinth, and there were some that were saved, as he says in the next few lines here. He preached the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. So they received it. They didn't just believe it was true. They received it for their condition, for their need, their condemnation that needed to be taken away, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So this is the gospel of salvation. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, that's the important thing, what Paul preached, the gospel. Not Israel's gospel of a kingdom coming to earth, but salvation by believing that Christ died for your sins. The sins have to be died for. Blood has to be shed. So it's a matter of what I preached, what Paul preached. Believe only Paul's gospel. Well, here's what the content is of it. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. That's how Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And Paul gives us later, at a later time, he gives us a presentation of the gospel in Ephesians. If we can look at some of the verses there, look at Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's present tense. We have it now. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. We have forgiveness of sins. Not forgiveness of some sins. Forgiveness of sins according to... I love this. According to the riches of his grace. Not according to the skimpiness that he'll forgive some sins. No. But according to the riches of God's grace. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What is that Holy Spirit of promise? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And related to that, the praise of his glory and the purchased possession, look at Romans 8:23. Romans 8:23. Thanks for posting, Ed. And if you want the verse list, just click on the banner up there. It's the first link in the banner. Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. when we trade in this natural body for a spiritual body in the twinkling of an eye. The pattern of salvation which Christ gave to Paul saves people upon their belief. That's different too. And we're just going to end with these series of verses, three verses from Ephesians 2 that we talked briefly about before. Verse 5, verse 8, and verse 9. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay, I hope that's been helpful.